Good evening, guys. It's good to be here with all of you. And I'll tell you, this is a real special opportunity for me, not only because I get to hang out with you guys, and obviously you're here because you, all of you guys have decided and determined that Jesus is worth this, right? To take some time out during the week and to say, I just want to spend a weekend with Jesus and with Jesus people. But this is also special for me because I get to be a part of this retreat with two amazing pastors. You know, I'm so excited for you guys that you're going to hear from Pastor Bill Welsh, and I'm so excited that you're going to hear from Pastor Rob Salvato, and just to be invited to be a part of this group of guys, it's a huge, huge blessing and privilege for me. So thank you for the invite. Well, this evening, let's open up our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. So book number 6 of the Bible, Joshua chapter 1. And instead of reading the entire chapter, I want to read some selected chapters, but we're basically going to take the whole chapter as a theme for our evening message. So Joshua chapter 1, and I want to start by reading verse 6. In Joshua 1:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." Verses 7 and 8, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then verses 16 through 18, "And they answered Joshua, 'All that you've commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your word, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" Let's pray. Father, this evening, we pray that as we take this time to think about what you have provided for us in the first chapter of Joshua, that your Spirit will guide us, that your Spirit will help us to understand the meaning of these verses. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would also take this truth and just penetrate into every area of our minds and hearts. And Lord, where we need change, we pray, or that you would bring the change, and where we need that work of the Spirit in bringing growth and depth, we pray that you would do that, Lord. And for all of us, we pray that there would just be a unified, just this binding together in the name of Christ. Lord, that all of us would stand together as one people in one name. And so, Lord, we're asking you to fill this place with a very real sense of your presence as we've come to meet you in your word. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, there are three words that sum up the narrative of the first chapter of Joshua. And the first word is transition. Right? For all of you guys that have studied through the book of Joshua, for you that have read the book of Joshua, you know that Joshua chapter 1 is a really important chapter, not only because this is the opening chapter of this book, but just in the flow of the narrative of God's story that begins in Genesis, and it's going to continue on, climaxing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus is the focal point, the climax of the Bible. But as we think about the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the first word that sums up this chapter, it's the word transition. In verses 1 and 2, we read, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Now, guys, you know that Moses had been Israel's leaders for more than 40 years. Think about that. For more than four decades, Israel has had a single leader, and he was a strong leader. It was Moses. But then after his death, Israel's leadership transitioned from Moses to Joshua, right? Earlier in Numbers chapter 21 and in Deuteronomy chapter 31, God had appointed Joshua to be Moses' successor and commissioned him to lead Israel into the promised land. And so this is a historic moment. Moses, the deliverer, the prophet, the lawgiver, he died. He died back in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and now Joshua, who was content for over 40 years to be Moses' assistant, now he steps into that place as Israel's new leader here in Joshua chapter 1. So that's a key word, transition. But the second word that sums up Joshua chapter 1 is instruction. Not only transition, but also instruction. There's two specific instructions that we need to see here in this first chapter that's hugely important. The first is in verse 2. God tells Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Listen, God rescued Israel from 400 plus years of bondage. He sustained them through 40 years of desert wandering, and he kept his promise to bring his people into a fruitful land, into their new homeland. In fact, in verses 3 through 5, God says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then he says, and I will not leave you or forsake you. Guys, just let's think about this moment here. Joshua and Israel had mourned Moses' death for 30 days. Now it was time to arise and go into the promised land and possess the possessions that God had given Israel. And so the first command, we see it loud and clear, arise, go. The time of mourning is over, Joshua. Now it's time to advance forward and to take ground. And then the second command, we see in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. So here in this command, we see that God repeated it three times in verses 2 through 9, be strong and courageous. So when God tells Joshua to be strong, that means be bold, be unrelenting, be unwavering, Joshua. And when Joshua hears the command to be courageous, he understands it to mean don't succumb to fear, be daring. Be valiant, Joshua. Guys, these words to be strong and courageous. Listen, this is a clear, specific call to valor. The theme of this retreat, valor. Listen, right here in Joshua 1, God is calling this man to valor. Now, if you open up a dictionary, here's the dictionary definition for valor. Valor is boldness or determination in facing great danger, especially in battle. It's heroic courage, it's bravery. If you open up another dictionary, you might find this definition, strength of mind in regard to danger. that quality which enables a person to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage, prowess, and intrepidity. This is valor. And men who possess or exhibit valor, we have a name, a word for them, right? They're valiant. And these are boldly courageous, they're brave, and they're stout-hearted. And notice that God is calling this man Joshua to be that. And as we read through the Bible, right? As we open up the book of Genesis and we follow through the narrative all the way on through the book of Revelation, we discover that the Bible is filled with real stories of real people that are defined as men of valor. They're valiant men. And listen, Joshua was one of them. And so when we see these words, be strong and courageous, I think that one of the first things that we need to clearly see about this command is the repetition of it. Guys, this is not the first time that Joshua heard the command, nor is it the only time that Joshua heard the command to be strong and courageous. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, at Joshua's ordination, Moses spoke these same words to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And then here in verses 2 through 9 of Joshua 1, three times God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then later in verse 18, the people of Israel, the men of Israel, are also going to encourage Joshua with these words. And guys, the practical lesson for us is that these were words that Joshua needed to hear more than once. And guys, these are words that you and I need to hear more than once. Think about the position, the place that Joshua was in at life at this moment. Behind him, when Joshua looks backwards, he sees his great leader had died. Listen, as long as Moses was alive, Joshua had felt safe. But now he had to be Israel's leader. Now he had to be the one providing strong and clear and inspiring leadership for God's people. But also before him was a nation of people who needed Joshua to lead them. And looking in front of him, he saw enemies that had to be fought. He saw a land that had to be conquered. He saw an inheritance that had to be possessed. Listen, Joshua heard the words be strong because he felt weak and inadequate. And Joshua heard the words, be courageous, because he felt nervous and afraid. Have you been there? I know that feeling firsthand. In other words, Joshua was a man just like you and me. Guys, whenever God has ever placed any mission in front of any person, listen, it is a daunting task to be God's man, to do God's business, and to accomplish God's will. And our initial response when we really understand that call, when we really understand that mission, is to make a 180-degree turn and go the other way. As Paul the Apostle was speaking about ministry, he said, who is sufficient for these things? Guys, none of us in this situation that Joshua was in would have ever felt that you could do it on your own, but I'm sure that we would all have felt what Joshua was feeling at this moment. My knees are about to buckle and my feet are about to give way. And yet the Lord comes and says, be strong and courageous. And guys, with this command, there's an implication here that God saw in Joshua a mighty man of valor. Listen, God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous because he intended to make Joshua a strong and courageous man. Guys, we've all heard this before, that with God's commands come his enablements, right? Listen, God would not have commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous if there was no potential for him to be strong and courageous. And guys, this was true for Joshua, and it's true for you and me. And guys, I want you to hear me, please, on this. God not only sees us as we are now. Guys, God not only sees us as we are now, but also what he will make us become. Wasn't that the case with Gideon? Gideon was hiding from the Midianites, and God was commissioning him to lead Israel into victory against the Midianites. And so while Gideon was hiding in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, God shows up to him through a messenger, an angel, and the Lord, and he says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." God saw what Gideon would become. And this was the case with Simon Peter, right? Before he got the name Peter. Simon. In John chapter 1, verse 42, his first encounter with Jesus, Jesus looks at Simon, this guy that looked more like shifting sand than a rock. And he says, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter or the rock. Was Peter the rock at that time? No. But Jesus saw in Peter what he was about to make him be. Listen, it's been reported that Michelangelo, the great artist, that he looked at a piece of marble, a piece of uncut marble, and he said, "I see an angel in it, and I must set it free." Guys, you understand that when God looks at your life, he doesn't just see us for what we are now. But he also looks at us and he sees us for what he is going to make us become. And guys, listen, God is at work in all of us, transforming us into the likeness of the ultimate man of valor, King Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "We all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the image, the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So right now, while we're sitting here in this room, God is keeping his word. God's keeping his promise. He's using the Word of God by the Spirit of God to shape us, to sanctify us, to look more like the ultimate man of valor, King Jesus. So there's transition. Leadership transitions from Moses to Joshua. Then there's instruction. Joshua, arise and go. Hey, be strong and very courageous. And the third word that sums up the message of Joshua chapter 1, it's affirmation. Affirmation. In verses 10 through 15 of this chapter, Joshua reminded the men of the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh of their promise that they made to Moses to march with all of Israel into Canaan and to fight alongside Israel to possess the promised land. And in verses 16 through 18, these men of these tribes, they reaffirm their commitment to keep their promise. That is what happens in Joshua chapter 1. Now, in the remainder of the time that we have together, what I'd like to do in this message is I want to focus in on the repeated commands that's found in this chapter, be strong and courageous. Since the theme of this retreat is valor. And listen, what we need to understand about this command that God gave to Joshua three times, this command does not stand alone, but rather it's connected to four things. In every case, we see that Joshua is commanded to be strong and courageous. It's connected to something. We see it's connected to confidence in the promises of God. It's connected to obedience to the Word of God. It's connected to the assurance of the presence of God. And then finally, we see that it comes as an encouragement from the people of God. Guys, the command to be strong and courageous does not hang on nothing. But there is a basis for this command. So let's just spend some time talking about how you and I could draw courage from these four things as Joshua was instructed to do as well. So first, when God says be strong and courageous, where was he supposed to draw his strength and courage from? Listen, number one, the promises of God. Guys, the source of Joshua's valor was his confidence in the promises of God. In verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Listen, there is a command and there is a promise that's contained in this verse. The command, be strong and courageous. The promise is you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Listen, God makes promises. And he made a promise to Israel's forefathers that he would give them a land and that one day the Messiah would rule and reign in that land. God made a promise to Moses that he would bring his people into that promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And then now here we see that God makes Joshua a promise that the people of Israel will, it's total absolute certainty, they will inherit the land. And because God is perfect in all that is right, and because God is pure from all that is wrong, and because God cannot lie, he cannot falter, he cannot fail, listen, he is faithful. And he is able to always keep his promises, and he did. He did it for Joshua, and he did it for Israel. In Joshua 21, verse 45, as they're looking back with hindsight, the Lord said to Joshua, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. At the end of Joshua's life, speaking to the congregation, he said in Joshua 23:14, you know in your hearts and soul, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. Guys, that is a declaration. That is an affirmation. God's promises are not maybes. They are will-bes. And listen, Joshua could draw strength and courage from God's promises. Being confident in them, he could advance forward with the full confidence that defeat and failure was not his final destination. He would inherit the land. God gave him that assurance. And Joshua was to draw strength and confidence from that. Here's the application. Like Joshua, you and me as men, we need to draw strength and courage from God's promises. Listen, unbelief in God's promises cannot see past present circumstances, right? And what's the result? When you can't see past your present conditions, your present circumstances, it results in paralyzing fear and worry. You're stuck. But faith in God's promises, it looks beyond the present circumstances to the future fulfillments, and the results are strength and courage. Listen, here's some examples. Here's some practical examples of how we need to look beyond our circumstances, because unbelief will cause you to get stuck with fear and worry. And listen, fear and worry is the language of cowards. Fear and worry doesn't cause you to advance. It causes you to go into hiding. Fear and worry doesn't press through the challenges, but it goes into retreat. I remember one day at our pastor school, I was talking about faith, and one of the students said, man, I wish I didn't have any fear, but I could just be bold and just press through life for the glory of God. But as he said that, we thought about that statement, and the conclusion was, how can you have boldness without fear? Guys, boldness, courage is not the absence of fear. Boldness and courage is identifying the fear and choosing not to get stuck there, but to press through it, right? Guys, in life, we are always going to be battling those feelings of fear. But God is calling Joshua on the basis of future fulfillments, the basis of his promises, when fear and worry confronts you face to face, you press through that. And guys, here's some practical examples. When Satan tempts you with the momentary pleasures of sin that leads to a broken relationship with God, it leads to sorrow and shame, what do you do at those moments? Because we face temptations to sin all the time. Here we see in Joshua 1, remember God's promises. Remember God's promises of long-term blessings of spiritual health, fruitfulness, and joy for those who do God's will. Hey, you know what you do when you're facing temptations to sin? Remember this promise, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 4. Blessed, oh, how very happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Listen, sin will always make promises to you, but it can never give you what it promises. It's a liar. Sin is a liar, and it will always lie to you. And so that means when you battle temptation, you have to go beyond that momentary moment of self-gratification to embrace the future fulfillments of God's promises. And God is saying, if you obey me, if you obey my will, if you obey my word, I promise you, I will give you something more than just something that is momentary and temporary. I will give you lasting fruitfulness. I will give you lasting joy. I will give you a lasting life. Or how about when hardships and suffering tempt you to give up in despair and disappointment? What do you do then? How are you strong and courageous then? Listen, you have to remember God's promises. You have to remember God's promises of his sovereign and gracious intervention to bring good future outcomes for his people. In Romans 8:18 and then in 28 through to verse 30, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified." And notice as Paul is talking about events that's going to happen in the future, he speaks about it as if it already happened, right? Why? Because it's so certain he could talk about it like it already happened. And so when hardships are pressing in you and saying, give up, be defeated, walk away, guys, we have to look beyond that. And we have to see the future fulfillments of God's promises. How about this one? When guilt and shame confronts you face to face and it says to you, you're worthless. You're done. Look at how many times you promise God that you would never do that or you would do that. And the follow through, it's always a big fat F. It's always a big fat zero. You're done. It's over. And some of you guys, you're battling that tonight, right? Guilt and shame constantly reminding you of what you're not or what you are. And it's crippling. So what do you do there? How can we be strong and courageous at those moments? Remember the promises of God. Remember the promises of God in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Remember Psalm 103, verse 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. And how about this one? When you face personal death, when that time comes, when you're at your final heartbeats, or the death of a loved one, the death of Christians, how can you remain strong and courageous at those moments? You have to remember God's promises. We have to remember the promises of God of our real eternal home. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Remember the promises of God in Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. In the final minutes before my dad passed away, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And it took his life pretty quickly. And I remember being in the hospital room, Fountain Valley Regional Hospital, sitting next to my dad. And as his vital signs began to just go down, 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 I found that I saw him in those final moments, instead of being crippled by fear, God renewed in his heart a strength and courage to now transition from this life to the next. And the last words that my dad heard on this side of heaven was me whispering into his ear, "Dad, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus." And then he flatlined and he entered straight into the arms of King Jesus. How was he able to find that kind of strength and courage in the final minutes of his life as he faced death? Because he embraced the future fulfillments of God's promises. Guys, be strong and courageous. Men of valor are men who are confident in the promises of God. But also, number two, they are men who are obedient to the Word of God. Where do we draw our strength? Where do we draw courage? From the Word of God, verses 7 and 8. "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law," or "all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I hope you don't miss this. I hope you saw it. Listen, I want you to see the connection between strength and courage and the Word of God. The two are connected. Joshua was instructed to draw his strength and courage from the meditation and obedience to God's Word. The word here, meditate, it means to mutter. It means to be thinking about it and talking it out loud. This is personal contemplation of God's Word. It's like a cow chewing its cud. It's digesting and processing and thinking and muttering it out again and again. You're marinating in the Scriptures. And the word obedience, this is the right personal and practical application of Bible meditation. Guys, we all know this. The Bible is the living and active Word of God. And by it, God saves sinners and He sanctifies believers. And listen, here's the application. We need to understand that the Word of God is not just some dusty ancient book of literature. Guys, the Bible contains the very words of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And if there's one thing that we understand about God's Word in the Bible, it is powerful. The Bible says that God created the worlds with the power of His Word. The Bible says God sustains the created universe by the power of His Word. With His Word, He causes a dead soul to be born again and alive to God. With His Word, Jesus said that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will rise, some to the resurrection of life and to the other, the resurrection of condemnation. Guys, the Word of God is powerful. So powerful that Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He doesn't say that the gospel simply contains God's power, nor does it say that God's power helps out the gospel of God, but he says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And so when we preach it, when we teach it, when we share it with one another in encouragement, God's power, God's transforming, His saving, His sanctifying power is being unleashed. The problem is we miss out on experiencing and living in that power simply because we don't believe it. Guys, when we talk about the Scriptures, we need to understand that God has given to us the Word of God to be emboldened, to face whatever obstacles that we face in this world with the hope of success, with the confidence of success. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The difference between a conqueror and a more than conqueror is a conqueror is someone who becomes that after he's fought the battle and overcome. A more than conqueror is the one who's already declared the winner before the battle even starts. And this is our standing. This is who we are in Jesus. And God has given to us the resource for us to draw this power, the power of God that comes to us by God's Spirit. So that means that you and I need to remember that being strong and courageous is faith in God responding to hard and frightening challenges and circumstances in life. So how do we grow in our faith in God? Well, our faith in God grows and deepens while we meditate on God's Word. And guys, meditation is not fast food. It takes time to meditate. You have to value this process enough that you will carve out time and to say, you know what, this is so important to me because this is going to make the difference of if I'm going to walk out of my house either as a victim or a victor. Every single one of us has choices to make that we're going to walk out of our house into the world, our workplaces, our schools, our environments, where Satan is driving the mindset, the philosophy, the activities of the world, and you are either going to step foot into that battleground as a victim or a victor. And it's all hinged on are you a man of the Word or not? And so we need to take time. We need to value this enough that we meditate on God's Word. There's contemplation. There's thinking through. There's memorization. David said, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." But also our faith in God matures. And it firms up when we daily not only meditate God's Word, but we got to obey it. When you read through the book of Deuteronomy, and God speaks about blessing His people, the blessing is connected not by just owning a Bible or just reading some verses of the Bible, but it's in the practical application of it. I've met guys that came to me and say, "Man, I really struggle with lust." And I don't know why I can't overcome it. I read my Bible every day. I do my four-chapter reading every day, and yet I still struggle. Where's the victory in it? Well, here's the question. It's great that you're reading the Bible, but are you obeying it? Are you obeying the word, walk in the Spirit? Because what's the promise? If you walk in the Spirit, what? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, let's start there. And where do we draw the power to walk in the Spirit? We're going to find it as we meditate on the Word of God. Guys, the more God's Word gets into us through meditation, and it flows out of us in obedience, guys, we are going to display strength and courage in our character and in our action. Jesus, the ultimate man of valor, shows us that. When he was tempted there in the wilderness, Satan comes with three temptations that was super appealing to the flesh. Jesus said no every time, and he counterattacked Satan's temptation with the Word of God. Guys, whenever we surrender to temptation, again, we're acting like cowards. When temptations are in front of us, guys, that is not the time to surrender and give in. That is the time to fight. And guys, it takes strength and it takes courage to fight. So how do we fight? Well, follow the example of the ultimate warrior. Follow the example of the ultimate man of valor. He used the Word of God as a sword, as Ephesians chapter 6 tells us. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's God's arsenal for you and me to be able to stand our ground strong and courageous. And so John tells us in 1 John 2:14, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Are you strong and courageous? And here's the thing. Are you strong and courageous in the Lord? Guys, it's not simply about going through the Bible, but it's about the Bible going through us. Number three, notice that Joshua was to draw strength and courage from the assurance in the presence of God. In verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Listen, God alleviates fear with the assurance of his presence. He did this for Joshua and he does it for his people. He did this for Isaac. In Genesis 26, 24, God said to Isaac, fear not, for I am with you. He did this for Israel. In Isaiah 43, verse 10, he said to Israel, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He also did this for Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1:8, he said, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And listen, we need to hear this from God tonight. Listen, God wants every single one of us in this room to hear this. He assures us of his continual presence right now. Whether you realize it or not, God is here in our midst right now. We're not just sitting in this sanctuary and God's over at the coffee shop. Paul the Apostle says we live and move and we have our existence in him. He's here right now. In Hebrews 13, 5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Matthew 28, 20, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So how do we draw courage from that? How do we draw strength from that? Well, let's just think about the God who promises to always be with us. Listen, the God who is always with us is all-powerful. In Jeremiah 32, 17, the prophet Jeremiah said, ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So you remember that. The God who is always with you, he's all powerful. But also the God who is always with you, listen, he's our Savior and Defender. In 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 through 4, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my strength and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Can't get better than that. This is the God who promises to always be with you. He's not only all-powerful. He's not only our Savior and Defender, but listen, He's also our Sustainer. In Psalm 54, verse 5, it says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life." Guys, you know that God's got a grip on you right now. And no one can pry his fingers off of you. Isn't that what Jesus told us in John 10? That no one can snatch you out of his hands. Not only is he all powerful and our Savior and Defender and our Sustainer, but listen, and again, I really believe that a lot of us, we need to hear this tonight. The God who is always with us, listen, he loves us. He loves you. He loves me with all the mess that your life and my life represents. He loves us. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." How do you go beyond everlasting? Guys, God cannot love you any more than he already loves you because he loves you with infinity love. And it's this God who is always with us who says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Listen, what opposition stands against you tonight? Remember, the Lord is with you. What obstacles stand in front of you tonight? Remember, the Lord is with you. What challenges are frightening you tonight? Remember, the Lord is with you. And like King David, we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. So listen, guys, be strong and courageous. I mean, that is the right application if you really believe that God is with you right now. No matter what you face in this life, here is the right application. Be strong and courageous. So Joshua was to draw his strength and courage, number one, from the promises of God, number two, the word of God, number three, we see here the presence of God, and finally, number four, he also received encouragement from the people of God. In verses 16 through 18, as Joshua had reminded the men of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh to keep their word to Moses and to fight with the remaining tribes of Israel to conquer the land, notice that it was the people now. It was the people that encouraged Joshua. They said, "Only be strong and courageous." And listen, that's what this weekend is all about, and that's why this weekend is so important. It's one thing for us to be sitting at home at the coffee table or at the meal table with our cup of coffee or tea in our hands in the morning and read the word and to hear what God says to us individually. But listen, we also need to hear this charge collectively. We need to hear it as a group, a community of men who love Jesus and who receive our marching orders from King Jesus. Listen, you know what this weekend is about? Is what this is all about here in Joshua 1. We need to stir up and spur on one another to be strong and courageous for God. Guys, there is strength and safety in numbers, especially in the community of God's Spirit, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-filled people. And so tonight, I have the privilege of being able, like these people who spoke to Joshua, I get to be a voice in your life tonight to say, "Hey guys, whatever you're facing right now, hey, be strong and courageous." And tomorrow morning, you're going to hear Pastor Bill Wells come up here, and he's going to be another voice, and he's going to say to you, "Hey, men, let's be strong and courageous."
And then Pastor Rob Salvato is going to come up and he's going to be another voice and he's going to challenge us as men. Be strong and courageous. Listen, we need to hear God's people encouraging, challenging one another, speaking to one another. Be strong and courageous. Listen, the boldness we see in others, it challenges. It inspires us to be bold too, right? Because that kind of boldness, it's contagious. And so listen. This weekend, let's not only hear from the Word, but let's obey the Word, and let's pray to be men who challenge and inspire not one another, these men that are in the room, these men who are fathers, these men who are brothers, these men who are sons. Let's challenge each other to be men of valor for God's glory and for God's kingdom. So I want to end with these two scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, let this be the challenge for all of us tonight. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." And then in Daniel 11:32, it says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Guys, there is a mission that God has called all of us to, and it's a daunting task. In this world, no matter what the context is that you're in, whether it's family, whether it's workplace, whether it's school, the mission that God has put in front of us is go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and do that. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Guys, that is a daunting task. And when you see a command like that, our natural response is to say, retreat. Let someone else do it. But guys, God is commanding you to do it. God is commanding me to do it. And so God is saying, listen, arise and go. Be strong and very courageous. And draw your strength. Be emboldened and be courageous. The promises of God, the Word of God, presence of God, and let us this week encourage you as the people of God. Be challenged, be inspired, no retreat. Let's live our life out loud for the glory of King Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's all stand together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I want to pray for you tonight. But I really believe that there are things that God wants to do on this first night in your heart, in your life, that is going to set the tone for this retreat. But that means that in order for those things to happen, you've got to bring your heart as raw and as messy as it is to the Lord and lay it all out and say, God, here it is, all my weakness, all my insecurities, all my inadequacies, but Lord, you promised me power. You promised boldness. You promised, like it says of King Saul, that Saul, he found a group of prophets prophesying, and he went, and the Spirit, I love how the English Standard Version says, it says the Spirit rushed upon him. I love that. And the Spirit rushed upon Saul, and it says the Spirit, as he came upon him, he became a different man. And he began to speak prophetic words among the prophets. Guys, isn't that our desire? That we want God's Spirit to rush upon us? And we hear a message like this about being strong and courageous, and we realize, man, there are so many obstacles in my life that seems to keep me away from that. But Lord, I'm going to press in because if you've commanded me to be this, then I have to believe that you intend to make me that. But that means that you've got to come and you've got to say, Lord, let your spirit rush upon me. And Lord, make me a different man. I don't want to run anymore. I don't want to run and retreat. I want to press forward and fight. I don't want to quickly surrender when I'm tempted to sin. I want to stand up and I want to fight with the full armor of God that in the end I'm standing. I don't want to run away because of fear and worry. But I want to press through the fear and worry, and I want to be God's definition of courageous boldness and a man of valor. But all of that stuff, it happens when the Spirit rushes upon us. We can't manufacture this. So I want to pray for you. And then we're just going to spend some time just responding to the Lord through song. And remember, King Saul, it was in the context as he joined the group of prophets who were ministering to the Lord that the Spirit came upon him. And I want to believe that as we're ministering to the Lord tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you too. Let's pray. Father, tonight I pray that your Spirit would take the words that we heard, that take the words that were spoken, and Lord, help us to just embrace the truth of it. Lord, I know that sometimes we can listen to a sermon, a Bible study, and appreciate what was spoken, but there's still that lingering doubt from believing that that truth is for us personally. But Lord, I pray that your Spirit will help every man to push through by the power of the Spirit against all those doubts. And Lord, to embrace the truth that was spoken, that it is for them. It is clearly for him tonight. That you don't just see us as we are tonight, but you see us as you are going to make us become. And I pray that men tonight all over this room would hear them say, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." For some, Lord, I pray that they would hear the words of Nehemiah when he said, "Fight for your families, for your wives, and for your children. Be strong and courageous for your families." I pray that others would hear you say tonight, "Hey, be strong and courageous in the mission. Be bold in proclaiming the gospel. Be bold in living out the reality of the gospel." I pray for others, they would hear you say, "Be strong and courageous in saying no to temptation." That now we would rise up and instead of saying, "Okay, I yield," we say no. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, we are not debtors to the flesh. I pray that we would have the boldness and the courage to say, "I owe the flesh nothing." And for others, I pray that they would hear the words, "Be strong and courageous against guilt and shame," to say, "I refuse to let condemnation beat me up any longer. But I'm going to run, I'm going to fly to the mercy and the grace of King Jesus, and I am going to allow him to revive me and restore me and to uphold me." So tonight, will you just do that in each heart, in each life, in each man? And so will you just take a few minutes and right now just quietly, personally, why don't you just talk to Jesus, you and Jesus, Jesus and you, and whatever that thing is that you see is a weak spot, a weak point in your life where you haven't been strong and courageous, just bring that to Jesus right now and ask for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit on your life. And then these guys are going to lead us in some songs.